Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
Thanks for spending your Friday with us. Greg and Telly with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon as we kind of wind our way through the holidays here. I feel like the official start of 2026 will be Monday of next week. Kind of be back to normal here. We'll know where the Packers are going for the postseason. That much closer to spring training and Brewers pitchers and catchers reporting. That's kind of sneaking up, by the way. Once you flip the calendar, that stuff all comes into view.
It sure does. And I tell you what, I'm with you on that program, Greg, because it does not feel like 2026 as of yet, but I think when everybody gets back in motion and everyone is back in their rightful positions, then it will feel like the new year. But until then, I know we have the best speed skaters in the United States and some of the best in the world aim to realize their Olympic dream in Milwaukee. The 2026 U.S. Olympic long track speed skating trials begin later today at the Pettis Center adjacent to the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds in West Allis. Among the athletes competing will be Kewaskum's Jordan Stoltz, the current world record holder in the 1,000 meter and 6-time world champion. So why Milwaukee for this year's trials? Kevin Butler is the Pettis Center's marketing director.
Salt Lake City is obviously at altitude, and so Salt Lake and Milwaukee are the only indoor ovals in the United States. And so Salt Lake being at altitude is always going to be quicker. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Less drag and everything else. But we are one of the fastest sea level tracks in the world. And so while we won't match Salt Lake times, we will have times that are good for sea level. And given that the games are relatively at sea level over in Italy, it should provide a similar environment. And I think that's what U.S. speed skating, that's why they wanted it here in Milwaukee. Besides the great fan turnout, like that's a huge part of it too, knowing that the Milwaukee community really supports this event. It's trying to mimic the conditions the best you can. Now, the ice is going to be different, of course, but you still try and get the pressure and all that kind of stuff as similar as possible so they have those conditions so they know what to expect when they get over to Italy.
Cool things are happening at the Pettis Center. Also in attendance will be women's 500-meter Olympic champion Erin Jackson. Tickets for Saturday and Sunday, unfortunately, are already sold out, so there are still limited tickets available for Monday.
It's a pretty amazing opportunity here to go see some of the best in the world, right? Can't make it to Italy? No problem.
No problem.
Go to West Allis. You'll see some of those who will be in Italy, including Jordan Stoltz. So always great to root for a hometown hero, but great to root for the Team USA being developed here in Wisconsin. Pretty cool stuff. I don't know if you've noticed it yet driving around downtown. Gina lives downtown, so maybe you've seen this, but have we seen a mass amount of vehicles being towed yet in downtown Milwaukee? All right, Gina says no. So here's what happened. New regulations in play beginning January 1st. Drivers with multiple unpaid parking tickets can have their cars towed as soon as the 1st under the city's new ordinance for habitual parking violators. So if you racked up tickets and chose not to pay those tickets, doesn't matter if you're parked legally or not legally, if your car is found in downtown Milwaukee, you might have to head over to 35th and Lincoln to the pound lot to figure out where your vehicle is.
Wow.
So the new policy went into effect November 1st. It requires the city to mail a letter. So tell me if you've racked up 5 or more parking tickets, you're going to get a letter from the city of Milwaukee that says, hey, you got to pay your tickets here, right? And these letters started going out November 1st. It's sent to the vehicle owner. Now, if those tickets remain unpaid and people find your vehicle using the license plate and realize that Telly hasn't paid his tickets, Telly's vehicle is gone. It's just gone.
Well, can we use another name besides Telly?
Well, we'll use Gina instead. So the tows may occur 60 days after the letter is sent, not before. So that means January 1st, yesterday, those tows were able to get started. And again, it didn't matter if the car was parked legally or not.
Wow.
Right? You could be at a meter that you plugged. If you haven't paid your tickets, you're going to be yanked out of there. According to the Milwaukee Department of Public Works, a total of 28,872 notices were emailed out, and 411 responded by paying their fines. That means over 28,000 if not. So if we want to talk about the next level of construction on the roadways, might be adding another lane to 38th and Lincoln, because cars are already lined up getting into the dump. They're going to be lined up getting into the tow lot now.
So let me understand it so I can be clear. So the parking enforcement now is going to check meters for if you are violating presently or if you have violated in the past. I think that's going to take a lot of extra time if you're checking every single license plate to see if they're late on tickets.
Well, that'll be the interesting thing. So I think it's probably some discretion on the work of the people who are doing the parking checking, those parking instructors that drive around in their Jeeps that I try to avoid when I'm downtown. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can plug your meter, you can do that whole thing, pay through the app. But if you've got five or more unpaid tickets, it doesn't matter if you're legal or not.
And that's the number, five?
Five or more.
Five or more, okay.
Right? If you've got violations, you've chosen not to pay.
I'm in the clear.
They're going to take your car away. Wow.
But I just... Yeah, that is something. And, I mean, a lot of it is going to be at the discretion of these parking enforcers. If they wake up and have a bad day, they may make other people have a bad day.
Yeah.
If they don't, if they're going to go that extra mile and check and see if this license plate's like, yeah, you know, your parking meter is valid right now, but let's just see, let's go a little deeper to see if you've always been legit.
Universally speaking, nobody is ever happy at the impound lot.
No.
You can't find a happy person at the impound lot, because either your car's been towed and you're trying to figure out how the heck to get it out, or you're having a confrontation with the person working there and they've seen and heard it all, right? They do not want to hear from you.
You won't be the first upset person that goes into a tow lot.
Nobody is happy at the impound lot. Not at all. It is 216 on WTMJ. So going back through some of the more notable stories from the year, I always appreciate Wisconsin's Morning News Standout of the Year Awards. We played the Deep Thought Standout of the Year Award winner in the 1 o'clock hour. It wasn't a person. It was an object that had garnered so much attention here in southeastern Wisconsin. But also receiving attention was outgoing Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy, one of the standouts of the year, according to Wisconsin's Morning News.
For the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver. Matthew Golden, wide receiver.
Hey, let me get a Green Bay three. One, two, three.
The first night of the NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin will forever be an I was there moment for more than 205,000 NFL fans.
Commissioner, welcome to Green Bay. Tell us how we're doing so far.
Awesome. The event has really grown, and I think Green Bay will contribute to that.
Dude, that was the biggest party I've ever attended. I mean, it was phenomenally done.
Alex Strofe is the host of Green Bay Game Day on WTMJ.
So many times found myself going, whoa, this is Green Bay? They did this?
The idea that Green Bay, Wisconsin, that could host an event like this, man, 10, even 15 years ago, like no way.
That crowning achievement for the now retired Packers president Mark Murphy would bring in more than 600,000 fans in total, plus an economic impact of more than $100 million across the entire state.
There were some times where we wondered whether it would ever really come to fruition, but what's really helped us was the development of Titletown.
The Titletown district, created under Murphy's leadership, brings in 1 million fans a year.
It's been tremendous. Not had a single person come up to me and say, why did you get rid of the Kmart?
Murphy has even worked with Microsoft, creating a Titletown tech, forever changing little old Green Bay.
The other thing that he deserves credit for that I don't think he gets enough credit for is the way he wrapped his arms around both the area of Green Bay, but also the fan base.
The one thing that I do think sets our fans apart from the other fans is that they have a vested interest in the team and the organization. So many of our fans are owners. I think we have 560,000 shareholders. You are really, truly special.
Not only did Murphy celebrate an incredible run with an incredible NFL draft party in 2025, he also became UW Green Bay's first ever executive in residence. He rescued a golf course in Door County.
Runs the golf course. He's helping out at UW Green Bay. He's staying in the area where he could do whatever he wants at this point. He's retired. He can move south. He can go live on a beach. But he has chosen not to, which I think is really impressive. And we can officially call Mark Murphy one of us, which is really neat.
Well, I tell you, I am just so honored. Most importantly, I want to thank the Packers Hall of Fame. This really is an incredible honor. I'm extremely humbled. Go, Pack, go!
I bet many people forget that Mark Murphy had an 8-year playing career, also won a Super Bowl with Washington, and he's 6'4", 200-pound safety. Like, that's kind of like prototypical size for a safety, right?
Yes.
That was also the Packers president. You might forget that about him. Law degree from Georgetown. Had his undergrad at Colgate. He came out of Colgate and was ultimately drafted by Washington, but has seen both sides of it and really helped bring the Packers, Title Town, everything to life. That whole district really is part of the Packers being the fabric of the state of Wisconsin here, but also part of his vision.
Yes, yes. Mark Murphy has done a great job, and he's going to leave behind a great legacy of what he was able to accomplish when he was in the position that he was in. But you're right. There's so many things that you can look back to before pre-Mark Murphy to post-Mark Murphy. And during that time, I mean, he's accomplished and brought a lot to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Well, Barb Harlan was universally beloved in Green Bay, and things certainly changed when Mark Murphy took over. A lot of focus on things happening on the outside of the stadium. The team has remained competitive, of course. Lambeau Field definitely looks different. There still is some nostalgia there, but it certainly looks different as it's evolved over the years. I think one of the things I'll be curious to see Ed Policy decide upon is the reporting structure. This got a lot of discussion and back and forth on Mark Murphy's desired reporting structure, where Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur are kind of like peers that report to Mark Murphy instead of the GM hiring the coach. It was Mark Murphy that hired the coach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just kind of a different and interesting dynamic. And I'm not sure what brought that about other than, you know, Brian Gutekunst was a first-time GM in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur, a first-time head coach in Green Bay. It's not like Ron Wolf, who was a seasoned veteran, and Mike Holmgren, well, at that point was an assistant, but that was Ron Wolf's hire, very clearly.
Right.
That was not Bob Harlan's hire. So I'm not sure what Ed Policy is going to do moving forward, but he'll have his opportunity to make every bit the stamp on this organization that Mark Murphy did.
But I think that was a really good move by Mark Murphy making the hire, because if you're a first-time GM and you're in Green Bay, your first hire could be your last hire, just depending on who you are and how things turned out. But I think that was a way to kind of get the heat off of your first year GM to not, if things weren't going well on the field, then how much scrutiny that he would have received, where Mark Murphy understands the landscape and knew that if things doesn't go the way that we hope it would with this hire, I can take the heat more than our first year GM. So I think that was a really smart move. And I think that was one that protected Brian Gutekunst at least early on, where that wouldn't be one of the things that is the tale of his time as GM with the Packers. And if there's a chance where a second coach may need to get hired, then I'm sure he will probably be more involved than he was the first time around.
And that'll be interesting to watch, because Goody and Matt LaFleur both coming up on the expiration of their current contracts, and no real clear indication that a multi-year deal is in the works. It's not been shared. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You've been sniffing around on it and haven't come up with much.
Yeah.
So 225 here on WTMJ, Wisconsin's Midday News Podcast, is built by Siding Unlimited. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, well, they come out with this every year, and I decided to look back, but first we'll look forward. The hot food trends for 2026, according to the folks at Whole Foods.
Whole Foods Market has released its annual food trends predictions, spotlighting how Americans may shop and eat in the new year. Convenience leads the list. Freezer fine dining will be big. They're talking premium frozen and air fryer meals, and not just a box of frozen pizza. Also on trend, instant reimagined, which includes
include single-serve lattes and meals in a cup beyond your basic ramen. The grocer also predicts a comeback for beef tallow as a cooking oil, a rise in vinegar-forward foods, and more fiber-focused products. Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
I was surprised not to hear more about protein. Doesn't it feel like protein is popping up everywhere?
It does. It
you know,
does.
It's just like in your Starbucks, like everything is protein. A little bit of protein here. Yeah. Protein
in
cereal.
In your smoothies, in your acai bowls, everything. There's an option to add protein.
All right. So does anything out of that list, does anything pop off to you?
Not for real.
Okay.
I'm just going to be honest. I stick to the things that I normally stick to, but It seems like with so many options now, with so many food services that can deliver you groceries, hot food, cold food, that it's not, to me, the most convenient thing that people are going for now. And like ramen noodles have always been one that everyone is just a simple meal. But I think that people now can order different things so they don't have to worry about what's the most convenient thing, because everything's convenient now.
Well, it's really a marketing ploy from Whole Foods. I understand why they do this, because it gets us talking about Whole Foods, but it also, if you read the article online, gets you a direct pipeline to buy the stuff that they're trying to push. So in 2025, Whole Foods identified international snacking as a trend for 2025. I'm about 48 years old. There's not been a year in my life where snacking has not been a trend, right? It's just a thing, right? Now, it might be a little bit different, right? Your coconut curry Chex Mix versus something else you might have been munching on when Cruncher's potato chips came out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That felt like a big deal. But sure enough, you go to the Whole Foods site and their story, try the trend, Daily Crunch and Fly by Jing Sweet Sichuan Sprouted Cashews. So it tries to get you into the store to buy stuff. The ever-adaptable dumpling was a 2025 trend. If you're into pot stickers and dumplings, that seemed to be a popular one. I admit, I really like dumplings. I like pot stickers. I like anything that has some sort of noodle wrapped around it, be it Asian, Italian, or otherwise. I like it. I'm into the pierogies.
My daughter was really into pot stickers this year. I mean, last year now. It's 2026. But yes, it's just... like you said, I think it's something for these vendors or stores to really just get you to talk about it in order to try and go and buy these things to push it to say this is what everybody's doing. It's kind of like what I talked about before when the AAA comes out with, oh, there's going to be 7 million people driving this holiday season. Like, how do you know that? And so in order for you to just throw a number out there, it just makes people to even think about it or say, yeah, you heard that there's going to be at least 7 million people on the road, and it may not ever be. Like, who really is taking count? So I think that's the same thing with this. It's nobody's really talking about, like you said, snacking's been around forever. And so why this year is going to be trending that, oh, you're going to snack on Cheetos more. And it's just for you to go buy more Cheetos. It's not that it's going to actually happen.
Whole Foods suggested that matcha would become very popular in 2025. I would argue that it probably has. It's kind of an earthy sort of tea you can find different places. They also were big on hydration in 2025. I only bring it up to see if any of these things really came to fruition over the last year or so.
And maybe people start talking about matcha a little more, but it doesn't mean that it was just all of a sudden just came to this big deal because Whole Foods mentioned it. I don't agree.
Well, the trends are out there, as according to Whole Foods. According to Whole Foods. One of the big stories in 2025, of course, the NFL draft. Just an event unlike any other, quite literally, in Green Bay. Maybe the biggest event Green Bay has ever held.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a close second, to be honest.
Right, yeah. I mean, outside of an NFC championship game or something like that, but yeah.
But that's a day, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, people are coming in, you got the national TV trucks, and it's a big to-do, no doubt, spread out over the course of a few days. But it's really all about game day when it comes to the NFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
With the NFL draft, it was all about the week.
Yes.
I mean, it was draft week in Green Bay with people coming in from all corners of the country and even beyond the country to see what Green Bay had to offer. And the Packers turned out a wonderful, wonderful party. And everybody in Green Bay was involved. People in Milwaukee were involved. It was a huge to-do. I had a lot of fun going back through, and it was kind of a, you know, just my own thoughts put together in a piece. I tried to analyze and figure out, prior to the draft, who are the best draft picks ever in Packers history.
Mm.
And I came up with the top five. Here's what I came up with.
Oh.
The Green Bay Packers have drafted over 1,000 players since the draft became a thing in 1936. In the 1940s, the draft had as many as 32 rounds. Today, the draft is a 7-round event in which 257 players will be selected. While general managers aim to bat 1,000, not all Packers picks have worked out.
79, Tony Mandarich.
He's the finest offensive lineman I have ever seen.
He's a monster.
But many have. 89 drafts, over 1,000 players, 13 Hall of Famers. These are the best of the best.
5.
Leroy Butler.
It's picked off by Butler. Butler to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. He's in for the touchdown.
A second-round draft pick in 1990, Butler played all 12 seasons of his NFL career in Green Bay. A 4-time All-Pro, a Super Bowl champion, a member of the NFL's 1990s All-Decade team, recording 20.5 sacks in his career, and 38 interceptions, a game-changer, all-league performer, Hall of Famer, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap.
4.
Jim Taylor.
Taylor was unbelievable. He was a fierce, fierce competitor.
A second-round pick, Taylor was a 3-time first-team All-Pro and NFL MVP in 1962. Jim Taylor became the first player in NFL history to record 5 straight 1,000-plus yard rushing seasons.
I just tried to play at a very high level of intensity and play to my potential.
He liked to hit people.
Usually a running back breaks the line of scrimmage and looks for the end zone. Jimmy looked for the first safety he could run over.
A Super Bowl champion and member of the NFL's All-Decade team in the 1960s. Taylor's 81 rushing touchdowns remain a Packers franchise record. Taylor currently ranks second on the Packers franchise rushing yardage list with 8,207, plus another 1,500 receiving yards.
3.
Boys, Greg.
Vince Lombardi famously called Greg, quote, the finest player I ever coached. Greg played 15 of his 16 seasons in Green Bay, was a 7-time first-team All-Pro. Greg was also incredibly durable, missing just one start over an 11-year span from 1959 to 1969.
On this play against Chicago, Forrest executes the difficult seal-off block perfectly.
A member of the 1960s All-Decade team, Greg, in 2019, was named to the NFL's 100th anniversary team. The only player ever drafted by the Packers to make that team.
The guy was just fantastic.
A second-round pick in 1956.
2.
Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my, that may be one of the great throws ever made.
A first-round pick in 2005, Rodgers spent 18 seasons with the Packers, winning 4 MVPs.
Very few people in the history of this game could make this throw that Aaron Rodgers just made.
A Super Bowl champion, an MVP of the Super Bowl, and a 4-time first-team All-Pro. Rodgers' 59,005 passing yards is an all-time mark for the Packers. His 475 touchdowns, the most in franchise history.
Look at this throw!
Unbelievable. 4 times during his tenure with the Packers, Rodgers led the NFL in quarterback rating and is among the most historically accurate quarterbacks to ever live.
1.
Bart Starr.
The measure of the player is how well he plays under pressure when you have to win.
Starr played 16 seasons of professional football, all with the Packers. He was a 3-time All-Pro and the MVP of the league in 1966. 4 times, Starr led the league in quarterback rating and completion percentage. His 5 championships, more than any quarterback over the league's first 96 seasons. 2 Super Bowl wins, 2 Super Bowl MVPs. Starr lost his first playoff game in 1960 and never lost in the postseason again, posting a career 9-1 mark.
I think the quality of a great leader, of a great quarterback, is being able to deliver when you have to.
Bart Starr was the 200th overall selection in 1956, falling to the Packers in the 17th round. So much history, so many great players. Who's on your list? Greg Manson, WTMJ News. Yeah, 17th round pick for Bart Starr. That's kind of what put him above Aaron Rodgers in my book. It's like you're getting 17 rounds into the draft before you get to Bart Starr. Aaron's a first round pick. I mean, both remarkable quarterbacks, and kind of got got down a different way, but certainly the leaders of the Lombardi era Packers.
But I'm sure Aaron Rodgers felt like he went in the 17th round because he was waiting in that green room for so long. And when you go from potentially being the number one pick to waiting until 24, yes, that could seem like a lifetime, especially after every single pick. They're putting a camera on you to see what your reaction is. Back then, they didn't have to worry about that with Bart Starr. But, no. but 17. Yeah, round number 17, and you have the career that you had. Yeah, that's – you got to put him number one.
It's going to be an interesting weekend of football here because the NFL regular season comes to a close. There is still some drama here across the league with Carolina and Tampa Bay. Winner gets in the playoffs. Loser's done. San Francisco and Seattle. Winner is the NFC West Division title. They're going to get a bye as the top overall seed. The loser drops down to maybe number five seed, which is kind of a precipitous drop. In the AFC, you've got Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers taking on the Ravens. Winner is in, loser is out. No drama with the Packers at all.
Yeah.
None. And to that end, Clayton Tune is going to start a quarterback here for Matt LaFleur. So Matt LaFleur deciding that health is more important than knocking off some of the rust of a three-game losing streak going into the postseason. Packers certainly beat up, so Love won't be the only starter sitting.
No.
Don't expect to see Josh Jacobs on the field. There will be some starters or regulars that will play on Sunday against Minnesota because you have to dress 48. You've got to find a way to get to that 48-man active roster. So that means some starters will see the field, but it's going to feel a lot like a preseason game on Sunday. So who knows if that's the best strategy going into the playoffs, but if you don't have health, you really got nothing, and the Packers are going the wrong direction when it comes to health.
Yes, and you never know how it's going to turn out, and this happens every single year, rest versus rust. But let me tell you, the Packers, the only way to knock off a three-game losing streak rust is by winning. And so there is no, they look better, because you don't have that opportunity. You win, you keep playing. You lose, your season's over. So whatever they need to do, which in my opinion, the most important thing is getting rest and getting as healthy as they possibly can in order to give themselves the best shot to win come the first round of the playoffs, wherever that may be, if it's Chicago or Philadelphia. But to me, it really is a no-brainer, and not getting caught up in the moment of, oh, we need to do this or we need to do that. These guys have played, and this is week 18. If it hasn't happened by now, it's probably not going to happen. So whatever you need to do in order to be the healthiest you can, because it's a lot of times it is the survival of the fittest. Whoever's the healthiest is not always the best team to win, but it's the healthiest team. And if the Packers can somehow get to as close to 100% as they possibly can and get some of their guys back on the field, I think that's the most important thing.
Well, we shall see how it all plays out in Minnesota here on this Sunday, but Jordan Love is going to go into the postseason without having taken a snap in about 10 quarters. They thought he was going to play last week, according to Matt LaFleur against Baltimore. Said he took the bulk of the reps, and then finally they got to Saturday, and he didn't clear the concussion protocol, which is it's kind of crazy to think you've taken first-team reps all practice week long, and then you're just not able to get over that final hurdle going into the game. It was actually Friday night they determined he wasn't through the protocol, so he didn't play on Saturday against the Ravens.
I mean, but I would rather be overcautious with my franchise quarterback than to throw him out there and he's not fully ready to be out there.
Well,
so
true.
It doesn't matter. The seeding doesn't matter. It's pretty much in play, already in place. And even against Baltimore, what could they have done outside of where they are now?
Well, truthfully, it turned out they'd still have an opportunity for the NFC North Division title with a win, and that Bears lost to San Francisco. So it would have gone into this weekend with a little bit of drama. But nonetheless, Packers are going to be road warriors for as long as they're playing in the postseason.
Yep.
We are out of time. John Mercure is back. He is in with Wisconsin's Afternoon News alongside Adam Roberts. Telly and Gene and I say have a great weekend here on WTMJ.